turn back to the first reading, the book of Esther. It's there in the church Bibles on page 491, because we're on chapter 2. Now, it's worth noting that the book of Esther just tells an account of what happened. It doesn't usually comment on the rights and wrongs of a situation. It just tells the situation. Not much comment, just what happened. So one way to appreciate Esther is to play the game, what would you do? Maybe also play the game, what would Jesus do in each of these situations? In this remarkable account of remarkable times. Because the story of Esther has lots of twists and turns. And in each turn, it's worth trying to ask, what would you do? Or what would Jesus do? In order to help us remember the story better, and in order to benefit from the book. And the book was really designed to be heard at one sitting. So you hear the whole story from beginning to end. The reading's long enough, isn't it, when we just take it a chapter at a time. And we want to make the most of the book over about 7 Sundays through September and October, and in our home groups as well, over 7 or 8 weeks. So we pick the story up at the start of chapter 2. The king has publicly deposed his queen after an incident at a big drunken party. The king was drunk and his bravado backfired. And then it was badly managed by the royal court, so the issue of the queen's refusal of a drunken command has become blown up out of all proportion into an issue of treason against the king and a crisis in every household in the land. Well, thankfully, here at the beginning of chapter 2, the king is reflecting on things. He's remembering what has happened, having a moment of sober reflection, maybe regretting his drunken bravado and foolish follow-up. Can you see in verse 1? After these things, when the anger of King Ahasuerus had abated, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what had been decreed against her. Now, what should he do? Or maybe, what would you do? I think I would feel bad about it if that was me. It's right and good to feel bad about things we've done wrong in the heat of the moment. Indeed, it's the work of God, it's the work of the Holy Spirit to help us feel bad about such things, so that we confess them to God and seek to put things right with other people. So what would you do? What would Jesus do? I think he would encourage humble reconciliation for the sake of the royal family and for the sake of the nation, because Jesus wants to repair broken relationships and encourage all of us to humbly make the first move if it's our fault that things have gone awry. Well, what did Xerxes do? He got distracted by the advice of his advisors, which actually seemed designed to distract him. Did you hear what they said? Then the king's servants who attended him said, "Let beautiful young virgins be sought out for the king, and let the king appoint commissioners in all the provinces of his kingdom to gather all the beautiful young virgins to the harem in the citadel of Susa under custody of Hegai, the king's eunuch, who is in charge of the women. Let their cosmetic treatments be given them, and let the girl who pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti." This pleased the king, and he did so. I guess the lesson for us is, when we have a moment of sober reflection, let's remember that this sort of distraction is unhelpful if we want to put things right. Now, we go on to the next dilemma, the dilemma of the beauty and the bedroom competition. First, we before we sort of get on to that, we're introduced to the main characters of the book, Mordecai and Esther. Can you see in verses 5 and following? Now there was a Judean in the citadel of Susa, whose name was Mordecai, son of Jair, son of Shimei, son of Kish, a Benjaminite. So you can see there he's descended from important families, the noble families who were deported to Babylon when Jerusalem fell around about 590 BC, about 100 years before. So he was a man who knew about leadership and diplomacy. And then Esther. Can you see in verse 7? Verse 7, Mordecai had brought up Hadassah, that's her Hebrew name, that is Esther, her Babylonian name, his cousin. For she had neither father nor mother. The girl was fair and beautiful, and when her father and mother died, Mordecai adopted her as his own daughter. So Esther is a younger cousin who's lost her parents and kindly adopted by Mordecai, who's brought her up from there on. Now comes the dilemma, verse 8. So when the king's order and his edict were proclaimed, and when many young women were gathered in the citadel of Susa in the custody of Haggai, Esther also was taken into the king's palace and put in custody of Haggai, who had charge of the women. What would Esther do? What would you do if you're in that position? Well, let's ask, what would Jesus do? That's probably a more straightforward one. Well, one thing I think Jesus would do is remind us what the Bible says about beauty, which is something very different to what our society says about beauty and what 5th century BC Persian society said about beauty. It does seem that in 5th century BC Persia, a beauty contest was about what you look like after 12 months of cosmetic treatment and controlled dieting, and then furthermore, how good you were in bed. That's not the measure of beauty, says Jesus. The Bible is clear that God sees people very differently to how so many of us in our sort of society see people. Can you remember in the Old Testament when the Lord was looking for a new king in 1 Samuel 16? Jesse suggested to Samuel the tallest, strongest, handsomest son. And the Lord said, no. Do not look at his appearance or his height and stature. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. It's how we are in here that makes us beautiful to God. Things like our kind nature, our good conscience, our perseverance, our courage for what is right in God's eyes. That's beauty when it comes to God. Not how well we compare with the latest fashion models, nor how much we've spent on cosmetics. And indeed, that's not only the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we're encouraged to see beauty similarly. There's a little instruction in 1 Peter, chapter 3, where God's word is encouraging wives to see beauty as an inner thing. It's 1 Peter chapter 3. I'll just read a few verses there from verse 2. Talking about when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. That's beauty. So do not adorn yourselves outwardly by braiding your hair and by wearing gold ornaments or fine clothing. Rather, let your adornment be the inner self with the lasting beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in God's sight. So what would Jesus do? I think he'd remind us what real beauty is about. In contrast to this beauty contest, this rather sordid beauty contest that King Xerxes has arranged. Well, what did Esther do? One question worth asking is, did she have a choice? I don't think she did have much choice, really. She was stuck between a rock and a hard place. Because this was a royal edict. This was a command. Can you see in verse 3, and let the king appoint to gather all the beautiful young virgins? Verse 8, so when the king's order and his edict were proclaimed, so all of the beautiful young virgins had to come. And what would she do? What can she do? Try and run away and then be chased and arrested for treason? Or take part in this rather sordid beauty contest and find herself, like so many of the women, would have been used, abused, and then rejected? Or even the winner finds themselves a sort of prisoner in the royal palace for the rest of their life. She is between a rock and a hard place. She did go through with it and made the best of a bad lot. But it wasn't much choice. And in fact, that's the situation for so many of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world these days, and so many other people in our world. And if you're a Nigerian young woman kidnapped by Boko Haram, or an Asian woman taken by Islamic State, you are between a rock and a hard place. A hard, hard place. You can only try and make the best of a very bad lot and call on the Lord in your distress and recognize that your life is changed and your hopes and dreams are altered. Well, that's what Esther did. And Mordecai continued to be a helper in the way that he could. He sort of passed by under the courtyard of the court and tried to have a quiet word with Esther to encourage her and help her in this place that was between a rock and a hard place. Now, the next dilemma was Mordecai's charge to be discreet about her race. Can you see? Esther, it says, finds the favor of the person in charge of the court. And one of the reasons is what happened in verse 10. Esther did not reveal her people or kindred, for Mordecai had charged her not to tell. Now, you can see the dilemma, can you? Esther is a Jew. Probably those around her don't realize that because she's chosen a Persian name, not her Hebrew name, Hadassah. But she's a Jew, and at that time, Mordecai knows that there's growing anti-Jewish feeling in Babylonian society. It claimed to be multicultural. But in any society which claims to be multicultural, some cultures are always favored and others suppressed. We know that. And you can tell the people of God were put upon because, very interestingly, there's no mention of God at all in this whole book of the Bible. The sort of secularism which many of our leaders are leading us into today was what was going on then. The sort of secularism which says to not mention God anywhere in the public square. So Esther learnt to trust God, but not to mention him. And Esther learnt to say nothing about God to strangers about her race and religion. What a dilemma. What would Jesus do? What would you do in that dilemma? Remember, in the Gospels, Jesus encourages his followers not to hide their light under a basket. Jesus warned his followers not to be ashamed of him and his words, because it matters. for the future to each of us, that we do witness to Jesus. Mind you, Jesus was silent before his accusers at his trials, but only because he was ready to face death. Now, some Christians are wise to be silent and discreet. At the same time, we're called to let our light shine. It's a big dilemma for so many Christians in our world, especially Christian converts from Muslim backgrounds, many of whom must keep quiet for fear of death at the hands of family members who think they're doing their Islamic duty. It's a growing dilemma for many in our country, especially those who work in the public sector. Like Esther, we need wise advice to know how to be faithful to Jesus and his call. What would you do in Esther's shoes? Well, whether right or wrong, she stayed quiet and went along with the beauty treatments and the diets and waited her turn for the king's bedroom. This whole process took maybe a couple of years or more, and shows what a large amount of young women were involved. What could she do? Well, as the story goes on, we see that Esther was seen by the king as better than all the other women. So Esther became queen. And actually, now her dilemmas would multiply. But at least she had an encouraging start. There was a big party in her honor, a national holiday, and gifts from the king to his people. So at least the people would remember this as something they wanted to be thankful for. And then one more dilemma at the end of the chapter. Mordecai is doing his job at the city gates and overhears two royal courtiers plotting against the king. Now, this is very understandable as well. And the king has shamed himself and shamed the court by the goings-on in the recent years. And these two courtiers have had enough of the king, and they're plotting murder. Mordecai, part of his work was at the city gate. It's where quite a lot of the legal cases happened in the city, and maybe he was involved as some sort of legal clerk or something, and he overheard this conspiracy. What should Mordecai do? What would Jesus do? Well, I think Jesus would remind us of the Christian calling to support our governing authorities. Queen and country matters to Christians. And the Church of England reminds us of that helpfully. What would you do? What did Mordecai do? Well, he did the brave thing and reported it to the Queen, who told the King. The issue was investigated, and the culprits were prosecuted. And Mordecai was mentioned in dispatches. And that bit of bravery would be to his great benefit later in the story. Well, it's an interesting challenge to us. Are you ready to report plots against the Queen or the government or against other matters for our country? Because we do live in such times ourselves when there are lots of plots. All of us, I think, need to help the security services. All of us need to be vigilant and brave for the sake of Queen and country and our community. 5th century BC, Persia might seem a long way away and a long time ago, but much is similar, and the dilemmas are similar. And we are helped to be ready. If we are to meet similar challenges, we won't be the first. of God's people to be between a rock and a hard place. The Lord knows. And even though in this book the Lord is not mentioned, the Lord is at work. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that as we hear the words of the Bible, we hear your voice. Please help us to respond faithfully for your name's sake. Amen.